I love watching those guys. Don't you wish you had the same energy you did when you were seven? Wouldn't that be nice? Bye, guys. Well, as I mentioned earlier, we are starting a new series on prayer, on how we pray, on what we pray, why we pray, all of those different things. I forgot to mention in my announcement, if you would like to be part of a small group, we do have some new small groups starting up. Other small groups that have been around for a while would love to have you join them. There is a sign up now on our website. It's a sign up genius, one of those things where you can look at who's meeting and when and which one might fit well with you. We have a bunch of groups that are women's groups and a men's group and co-ed groups and lots of different times. So we would love to have you join one of those classes. And I think sometimes corporate prayer is really important. So talking with people about prayer and then praying together. One of the things that Larry wants us to do as we do this study is having small groups spend time praying together, not just talking about prayer, but actually praying. So we hope that you can join in with that. Again, it's on the website, but you can also call the church or talk to Pastor Linda. She's coordinating all the different groups, so be sure to talk to her. Let me pray for us as we begin. Holy God, we do thank you for the gift of prayer. We thank you that you invite us into conversation with you. Lord, we thank you that this is a space where you want to spend time with us. Lord, we confess to you all of the jumble of thoughts we have in our heads that so frequently distract us or stop us from praying. But Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit to come and intercede for us. Put your words into our groans so that we can talk with you with our heart language. Lord, we ask that you would pour out your Spirit on the words today from your word, that they would become living and true, that we would be able to hear your voice as we read your word, as we think about how to live your word and not just hear it. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We have two brief scripture passages today. The first one is Psalm 28. This is verses 6 through 9. Praise be to the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise him. The Lord is the strength of his people, a fortress of salvation for his anointed one. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. And turning over to John 15, this is the teachings that Jesus is doing right before he goes to the cross. John 15, verses 5 through 8. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. What is prayer like? Imagine a child coming home after a long day of school, and mom asks, "So, how are you? How was your day?" And the child says, "Well, I need notebook paper and lunch money, and Tommy's being a bully, and I need help with algebra, and we need world peace." And mom's like, "Okay, but how are you?" I think often our prayer lives kind of reflect that. It's like, hi, God, here's the list. And God's going, just hang out with me. Just spend time with me. One of my favorite stories about prayer, a bishop was in a grand cathedral and he saw the janitor sitting in the back pew and he thought he'd take a poll of how the church is going. So he sat down next to the janitor and said, "So what are you doing?" And the janitor said, "Well, I'm talking with God." And he goes, oh, really? And you're like, "Well, I can teach this guy a thing or two about prayer." And he says, so what do you say to God? And he says, "Well, I say, hi, God, it's me, Joe." And the bishop goes, "Well, okay, well, what does God say?" And he says, "Hi, Joe, it's me, God." We make prayer so complicated. We make it this thing that is hard and distant when God just wants to spend time with us. God wants us to abide with him, to dwell in him, to sit at the dinner table with him and have a relationship with him. Prayer is a conversation. It's not just a one-way shoot the list up to the supply line. It is God saying, sit down at the table with me. Let's talk. How are you? As we look at prayer over the next few weeks, we're going to be seeing God's invitation to us. He knows everything about you, and yet he wants to spend that time with you. He doesn't need to hear the whole story, but he wants to hear the whole story. And he wants you to learn to listen to his voice. He wants you to learn what his character is like, what his will is like, so that we can dwell with him and ask for his will and his longing. As we look at prayer today, as we're introducing this topic, I want to hit on three different things. What is prayer? What obstacles or struggles do people usually have? And then how to pray? How do we pray? Even the disciples, they've been hanging out with Jesus for months, and they said, Jesus, teach us to pray. We all need to learn and grow in prayer, but it is something that we can learn and grow in. It's not something that we're stuck in forever, but we can learn and grow. As we look at the prayer in the Bible, Larry Selig starts off with the story of Adam and Eve. That's where we need to start with prayer. Adam and Eve walking in the garden with the Lord. That's what prayer originally was like before sin entered into the world. It was just hanging out with God, walking through the garden. Wow, God, that was an amazing flower you made. Can you imagine not having anything between you and God at all, but just being able to be present with him and enjoy him? Celebrate. That's what the Westminster Confession tells us. That what is our chief end? It is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. I think we work on the glorify God part, but the enjoy him. Imagine Adam and Eve just enjoying being with God. And then what happens? The serpent comes along, whispers to them, does God really say? And he tries to break between that relationship. He tries to interrupt that, and it's like, if you eat this fruit, then your eyes will be open to see good and evil. Well, what they didn't know was they were going to see the evil in themselves and the good in God, and suddenly there was going to be a barrier between them. What's the first thing they did after they sinned? They went and covered themselves. God goes walking his usual afternoon walk in the cool of the day, and he doesn't see them, and he says, where are you? And they're hiding from him. Suddenly there's a division with God. And they say, we were naked. They didn't know they were naked before. It's like, you know, a cat thinking, oh my gosh, I need pants. They didn't know that was a thing. They didn't know that there was any vulnerability there, because God was all that they needed. And there was nothing, no breach between them. But when sin enters the world, there's a breach. Immediately, they feel like they have to cover up. And so we see that breach go through all of Scripture, the breach between sinful humans and holy God. But God continues to want to have relationship with people. He pursues people. He talks to Noah. He talks to Abraham. He talks to Moses. One of the interesting moments is Hagar. Hagar is not usually a popular character in the Bible, but she has a moment where God pursues her and she talks to him. God is very personal. Even in the Old Testament, he's the one that's coming in and trying to break through the barrier that humans have put up because of our sin. One of the most intimate examples of prayer is Jesus. Throughout his ministry, he will go away by himself to pray. He wants to go hang out with Dad. Can you imagine? I mean, he's been hanging out with these nincompoops for a long time. It's like, Dad, okay, let's see. How are we going to do this? But he loves to spend time with the Father. He loves to go away. He also, in that, loves to come back and minister to the sheep. I love the moment where, I mean, he's just found out that John the Baptist has been killed. He's trying to take his disciples away to get rest, and yet this crowd follows him. And what does he do? He doesn't say, go away, I'm tired, I need to hang out with God for a bit. He turns and he sees, he has compassion on the people as sheep without a shepherd. Because he spends so much time with God, that love flows from him, from the Father into the Son and out to the people. Because of that intimacy, we get an incredible image of Jesus and how raw his prayers could be when we see him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. There is a submission to the will of the Father, knowing that his way is best, knowing that his way is going to be beyond excruciatingly hard. But Jesus expresses his trust and his submission to the will of the Father. Not my will, but yours be done. We see this incredible moment in Matthew in the New Testament as Jesus dies on the cross. There's a huge earthquake. And what happens in the earthquake? The veil of the temple is torn in two. The veil of the temple is what stands between the Holy of Holies, where God dwells, and the rest of the temple, the rest of the people. This incredibly thick piece of cloth is standing between the Holy of Holies and the people. Only one person was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies once a year after lots and lots of cleansing rituals. And Jesus Christ dies, and suddenly that veil is torn in two. That wall that has been there between humans and God ever since the Garden of Eden, suddenly that dividing wall is torn in two. God, in Hebrews, it tells us to boldly approach the throne of grace. With that dividing wall gone, we can approach the throne with boldness, with courage, with joy, because we get to see Daddy again. It is this invitation welcoming us to see him. So as we look through Scripture, we see this openness of God to spend time with us, to come and be with us. And as we just read in John 15, the image is abiding, is remaining in me. If you remain in me, abide in me, hang out with me. That is where the power is going to be. He uses the vine and branches image. The sap is running through the from the trunk, from the roots up through the trunk and into the branches. And as long as you stay connected with the Lord, that power, that energy, that life is going to be flowing in you. But if you get cut off, if you think, I can do this on my own, I figured it out, thanks for the help, God, I'm going my own way. That's when that life force drops away, and then we are not worth anything but being thrown into the fire. But if we remain in God, that is when his power comes. This morning, I was praying, and I honestly, many, many of you get stuck in prayer. I've been stuck in prayer lately, and I'm like, great, God, I have to teach a whole sermon series on prayer, and I'm stuck right now. And I felt like God said, come and hang out with me this morning. And sometimes God will give me an image of what it's like to hang out with him. When I was a child, we had this great big front porch, which you have in southern houses quite often, and we had a really awesome porch swing. I've always wanted to have a porch swing ever since we had that one. And that was just my favorite place. And so often the porch swing is where I go and sit with God and talk with him. Well, this morning, the porch swing was overlooking a mountain valley with the sun coming up. And God said, just sit with me for a little while. Just sit here. And I sat there and I'm like, okay, God, but I've got this to do and this to do and this to do, and I don't know how to fix this. And God's going, shh, just look at the valley. Just feel my presence. And I kind of snuggled into his arm, and it was just this peace that came over me. It was like, all of the other stuff is stuff. God will figure it out. He just wanted me to abide with him, to sit with him, to remain in him, to absorb his strength and his peace. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And God just wants you to sit with him so he can go, shh, it'll be okay. God tears down that dividing wall even when we're the ones that put it up. He's the one that invites us to sit on the porch swing with him and just be for a little while. Enjoy his presence and absorb his love. If we don't absorb his love, we're not going to have enough to give to anybody else. We've got to draw it in ourselves so that we can be a channel for that love going out forward. So many people find obstacles to prayer. What is stopping you from praying, having a rich prayer life right now? There are so many different things that can interfere with our prayer. Like me, I had this, you know, huge list of things that were that I was thinking about it and getting stuck with, and Lord, I don't know how to fix this. God's going, didn't ask you to fix it, asked you to pray about it. If you have a lot of distractions in your life, there are several different tools that sometimes help me. One thing I had to do yesterday was just sit down and journal. I'm really good at getting distracted quickly when I'm praying just in my head. But if I'm journaling, it helps me sort of, I'm a verbal processor, so somehow seeing the words out on page, it helped me get at what I was really thinking and struggling with and that kind of thing. And another thing, very practical tip I would recommend is that keep a post-it note beside you when you're praying, because you're going to remember something that you need to remember and do later, but you need to just write it down and let it go while you're praying. You know, yes, I need to run to Goodwill and drop off some stuff, but like, I don't need to think about that anymore during my prayer time. I can put it on the post-it note and leave it there. And it's funny, there's a sense of God, like we often, well, we'll be praying and praying and praying and then start running through the list in our head. And then your response is, oh, I can't believe I did that again. I am, you know, why can't I focus? This is terrible. And God's going, shh. He all he wants us to do and go, oh, I wandered again. Okay, God, back to you. That's all you need to do. You don't need to beat yourself up. You don't need to have that. Like, when we beat ourselves up, it's like we're putting more of a barrier there. Jesus is not condemning us for struggling to pray. He knows our struggles. And he just wants us to be with him and sit at the table with him and enjoy that time together. Shame is one of those things that often blocks us from prayer. I heard it said this way one time. I messed up. Don't tell Dad. That's how we feel about prayer sometimes. I messed up. I can't tell Dad about this. As opposed to, I messed up. I really need Dad right now. That's how God wants us to come to him. He knows we messed up. But he wants us to come to him with all of our struggles and all of our problems. Don't let shame be that barrier. That's what Adam and Eve had between them and God. But Jesus Christ is the one who broke that barrier in half. And he says, come to me. If you mess up, come to me. If you're doing great, come to me. Come and hang out with me. One of the things that often stops people these days, and Dr. Seelig talks about this in his first chapter, for him, it was an issue of science. He was going to be, I think, a chemical engineer in school, and so he was, you know, very concrete, and here's how everything worked, and he was working in a very secular world, but it didn't even, like, prayer seemed nonsensical, like, well, this is all that's real. Why would I pray to something out there that I don't know or don't understand? 200 years ago, everybody believed in God. And like, of course God exists. They had different versions of what God was, but everybody knew that there was something bigger out there. That what was implausible was to think that there wasn't a God. That was just not even thought of. Everybody knew that there was something out there, but these days it's the opposite. It's like everybody knows that this is it, and you Christians are nuts. Why would you think that there's something bigger out there? But God is wanting to reveal himself in prayer. The women's group, they've been studying prayer all year. I love, Liz Mayfield came up with a slogan for it. Make prayer number one in 2021. I love that. But they've been talking about prayer already this year for about 6 weeks. And one of my friends said that somebody on the call, they were talking about God answering prayer. And she said, y'all really believe that? Is that really true? And different people on the call were able to say, here's how God answered this prayer in my life, and here's how he answered that prayer. One of the reasons why we need to tell our stories is to tell people that it really is true. It really does work. God really does answer prayer. In Psalm 28, you hear it, "Praise be to the Lord, he has heard my cry for mercy." The psalmists often declare how God has been faithful. They're remembering how God has been faithful. And in those moments when you're like, "God, I don't know if you're going to answer this prayer or not, because I'm not hearing anything." That's the best moment for us to start remembering. God often tells the people of Israel, "Remember the Red Sea. Remember how I delivered you up out of Egypt. Remember how I provided water from a rock and food from heaven." God wants us to remember the ways that he's been faithful in the past. And when we reflect on those things and give thanks for the way he's been faithful, that's when we can also build our faith to believe that he's going to be faithful in the future as well. We can hold on to that and grab onto that. And we as a community need to share those stories, because who knows what day one of you is going to be struggling with, does God really exist at all? And you need to hear from somebody else saying, "God does exist because I saw him here. I saw him working here, and he sees you and he knows you." One of the struggles that people often have is just not even knowing where to start. Where do you start? I love that image of the janitor. "Hi, God, it's me, Joe." You know, it doesn't have to be complicated. When, often think of like prayers have to be really flowery, like the Psalms. I have to, you know, say all of these wonderful prosy things. But God just wants us to be with him. There are times that writing a prayer as poetry is powerful. But there are also other times, like Peter sinking in the lake when Jesus had him walking on water. What was his prayer? "Lord, help." There are times when that is as elaborate as you need to be. I told you before, one of my favorite prayers is, "Wow, thanks, help." They don't have to be super flowery. I usually, may have noticed this, I usually address the Father. I'll start by saying, "Father God," something. And I'll start by, I like Father God because he's daddy and he's God at the same time. So I often use that together. I know a lot of people, you can start with Heavenly Father. You can start with all kinds of different things. We pray to the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with us as we're praying. And we pray in the name of Jesus. So it's a very Trinitarian thing. The Holy Spirit is the one who, I love it, Romans 8, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. How many times that you don't really have any words for prayer, you just want to go, "God, gah." That's sort of how I feel about the pandemic, like, "Gah." But God hears that. He can translate that through the Holy Spirit who is with us, and the Holy Spirit teaches us what we're even supposed to say. And we pray in the name of Jesus. It's his blood that divided the veil of the temple in two. It's his blood that purchased the way that we can approach the throne of grace. It is in his name, by him, by his righteousness, that it makes us possible to approach a holy God. You can, when you're praying, you can address any member of the Trinity. That's my standard way, but there are times I'm like, "Holy Spirit, need your help right now." There are times that we need to talk to Jesus because he knows what it's like to be human. And there are times that we need Daddy. And so you can be free to with how you address God. Then one of the interesting things as we think about how to pray, where do you start? One fascinating thing that popped off the page at me as I was studying this week was the way that God himself often prompts prayer. He doesn't wait for people to start praying. Sometimes he asks the first question. So like with Hagar. Hagar is the servant of Abraham and Sarah. She's being tortured by Sarah. So Hagar runs away, and God comes to her and says, "Hagar, where are you coming from and where are you going?" What an amazing question. Where are you coming from and where are you going? God knows the answers to that, but he wants her to say it. He wants her to share with him what she's struggling with, how she's feeling, what she wants. He wants her to say that. He opens the door for her to have that conversation. imagine sitting at a picnic table with God and he says, so where'd you come from? What are your dreams for the future? And you just start sharing that. Another one that gets used several times, either why are you crying or why are you afraid? Why are you crying or why are you afraid? God wants to know that. Why are you crying? I mean, think of all the ways that we've cried over the last year. Why are we crying? Because we don't know what's going to happen, because we lost a loved one, because the future is confusing and scary. All of these things. God wants to know the answer to that question because he asks us. One question that Jesus often asked when someone came up to him was, what do you want me to do for you? When a blind man comes up to Jesus for healing and Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? My answer probably would have been, duh. but he wants them to say what it is that they really want. I want to be healed. I want to be healed. It's funny when he asks that question of the guy who's been sitting by the pool of Siloam for 17 years. And he says, what do you want me to do for you? And the guy's like, well, I've been sitting here and nobody will take care of me. And he's like, look at me. What do you want? To be healed. And he also asks at one point when somebody comes and asks for mercy, he says, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Do you believe that I'm able to do this? Is God able? One of my friends talked about how we don't have to believe that he will do it. We just have to believe that he's able to do it. And that's a whole lot easier for me sometimes, to believe that God is able to do it, to put our faith on his ability, not on the methodology, but his ability. Are you able to, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Yes, God, I believe that you're able. I know that you're able. Look at all of the things that you've done before. And then when you think about what other people ask of God, Moses, burning bush, who are you, God? What's your name? What am I supposed to tell them? How the heck are you supposed to use me? I can't even talk right. People ask God some very raw things in their prayers. What should I do? What am I supposed to do next? Or again, Peter sinking in the water, Lord, help, save me. There are times that David asked God, where the heck are you? God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Prayer does not have to be nice and sweet and flowery. Prayer can be angry. If you're angry at God, tell God you're angry at him. Give him room to answer. If you're frustrated, you want to, like, if somebody's mad at me, I want to know what's going on, like, so that I can address it. Yeah, I would far rather that than like, passive-aggressive stuff happening around the edges. Talk to me. And that's what God is saying. Talk to me. Be in relationship with me. I want to know. I had a student I was working with in Waynesburg who was mad at God. I gave her permission to be mad at God, and she was mad at God for 2 straight years. And she finally got to the point where, I mean, she was yelling at God a lot, and she finally started to see, oh, that's who God is. God loves me enough that he will let me yell at him for 2 years. God loves us enough that he will make space for whatever is in our hearts, so that we can bring that in and that he can breathe his life, his Holy Spirit, his redemption, his healing, his power, his forgiveness into all of it. One of the things that as I mentioned with my prayer this morning, is often God uses imagery. Sometimes, and for some people, that is a very helpful tool. For some people, it's a little too weird, and that's okay. But one thing that I love to do is imagine, God says, boldly approach the throne of grace. Think about what that looks like. One prayer prompt would just be to stand at doors that are to the throne room of God and imagine those doors opening. Who are you with those doors closed? Those doors open, what happens to you when you step in the room? And what do you see? One time I was doing that, and I was standing outside the doors, and I was picturing myself just clothed in rags and with this massive bundle of junk, just all of the burdens I was trying to carry and everything I was trying to fix and all of this stuff, and I was just about to fall apart.
And the doors open and I walked in, and funny you say, I'm like, God, somebody's got to take care of this, because, you know, it's not just me making this stuff up. It's real problems. And I walked through the doors and it's a skating rink. That was not one that I was expecting. And all of a sudden, all of my burdens went on a little sled, and it was like you could just skate around and slide the sled around. So the weight of the burdens were gone. One time it was a similar image, and I walked through the doors and suddenly I was 3 years old and had a daddy who delighted in me. God can use images sometimes to break through the wall that we have there. Like, God is way far out there. He's scary. He's stern. He's disappointed in us. God wants us to feel welcomed into his presence. Imagine, where's your happy place? Where is the porch swing of your childhood? Imagine meeting God there. And God says, how are you? Where did you come from? Where are you going? Why are you crying? Why are you afraid? And just open your heart to God. Open it up and say, God, here's the deal. Here's what's going on. I don't know what to do. I need your help. And the Gospels tell us that God says, God is a father that it's unlike an earthly father. When you ask for bread, he will not give you a stone. When you ask for things, he will give you something good and fulfilling. One thing that he says to Moses that I just love, this is Exodus 33. The Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and know you by name. Imagine God looking at you and saying, I'm pleased with you, and I know you by name. Psalm 118:19 says, he rescued me because he delighted in me. Jesus Christ delights in you. Just like watching these little kiddos run to children's church and how just amazing and full of life they are, we delight in them. That's how God delights in us. He doesn't see us as a mildly disappointing failure of somebody who can't get their lives together. He sees us as his dearly beloved children. And that's what he's calling to and inviting us to come into his presence, that he delights in us. God said, I will do the very thing you have asked because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. As we spend the next few weeks looking at the Lord's Prayer, we're going to be using 5 different prayer prompts that Larry has connected to the different phrases of the Lord's Prayer. The first one, Father, help me learn who you are so that I can know and worship you. Then, Father, show me how to assist you in restoring your kingdom here on earth. Father, show me the difference between my needs and wants, so I can trust your provision and have enough to share with others. Here's a hard one. Father, help me forgive others so I can be forgiven by you. And Father, help me resist temptation by either avoiding it or by finding a way of escape when it stares me right in the face. We want you to slow down as we go through the Lord's Prayer this time. We want you to spend a whole week on each one of those prayers. It's so easy to go, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Just rattle it off. You've noticed I will make mistakes doing the Lord's Prayer from here because it's so stuck in my head that then I forget, where did I say temptations already? Or then you go to a church that says debts instead of, now I can't even, yeah, trespasses, there's the word. Yeah, see? But God wants us to slow down and hang out with these things. What would it be like for you to ask God for a week, Father, help me learn who you are so that I can know and worship you. Show me your face, God. Show me your heart. Show me your will. Show me your dreams. What does God dream for you? What does God dream for this church and this community? What would it be like if God's kingdom came to Pittsburgh? How amazing would that be? As we go through each of these things, we're going to spend time with them and marinate in them and examine what it means to hang out with God and to learn this conversation with him. To learn that it's not just us handing out a list, it is God sitting down at the dinner table and wanting to hear about our day, wanting to hear about our family, wanting to hear about our hopes and dreams. It is God listening and taking delight in you because he knows you by name. Let's pray together. Holy God, we do thank you and we praise you for who you are, for this incredible image of you as Father who invites us to sit at the dinner table just because you enjoy being with us. Lord, forgive us for all the ways that we have put up a dividing wall, have run away, have put off, procrastinated spending time with you, for the times that we've gotten distracted and forget the joy and the gift that is being in your presence. Lord, I pray that you would tear down those dividing walls, that you would tear away the veil that's dividing us from you. Help us to boldly approach the throne of grace so that we may be filled with your presence and your love, and so overflowing with your love that we may pour it out on others around us as well. Lord, we thank you for your great love for us, and we do pray as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.